I walked into a church. Hit that little subscribe button. Maybe that'll work. Today, I got to tell you guys, I'm as happy as a pig in shit. We have a lot of trouble with the truth. No shit, Sherlock. Religion, myth, plays a role in our lives, that search for truth. You know, we live in this world these days where, you know, if you don't believe what I believe, you're an enemy of mine. The Bible was written for a group of people who were slaves. Was Jesus all for organized religion? I gotta say, I don't really think the guy was. There's some question, though, whether the churches help the homeless as much as they help themselves. I found that those people who had lost every single thing that they had, every single day, they could find happiness behind the fence. Former United States most wanted cyber criminal, now good guy, and host of the Brett Johnson Show. On today's episode, believe it or not, yours truly, that's right, Bretty right here, I walked into a church yesterday, and it did not fall in. Why did I go? Well, my youngest stepson, Carson, he said, hey, would you like to go to Easter service with me? Well, if there's two times that a non-Christian, me, should be going to church, it's Christmas and Easter. So I was like, absolutely, young man. We'll load up and go. Hell, he may even show up. He being the capital he. He did not show up. Always a bridesmaid, nowhere a bride. Just saying. What I want to talk about on the show today, and we'll get to that, but what I want to talk about on the show today is some of the problems that I have with some of the messaging that comes through services. And it's not just the service I went to yesterday, but some of the messaging that comes through. Because I'm not quite sure, not that it matters, I'm just a little peon, not that it matters, but I'm not quite sure that I agree with some of the stuff. Some of the stuff I absolutely do, some of the stuff I don't. I'm going to talk about that today. Why? Because I'm the guy that would like to find some faith. I think I've said that enough times throughout this entire, you know, podcast career of mine. So we're going to talk about that today. And you know, I truly believe that if you can't ask questions, if you can't have doubts, if you can't address these things, if people get upset, angry, or think that I'm trying to disparage, maybe their faith isn't that strong. I'm trying to do things right and trying to come into knowledge and belief. So that being said, before we get into that, we are going to check up. Actually, no, not before we get to that. Here's the thing. This is our third take because I'm guessing the Russians are fucking with Brady or Brian or Shayna or somebody because we keep having technical difficulties. It looks like everything's going all right now. Before we started to record, somehow my dad came up and I mentioned to Shayna and Brian that I had my dad split into two and Shayna pauses. What do you mean split in two? I paused myself. You know, that explanation would make a pretty good, let's record it and get it in. So when I talk about split in two, my dad passed away and throughout his entire life, he was a lot like Captain Dan from Forrest Gump. He truly believed that he was supposed to die in Vietnam. Now, the problem is that he never went to Vietnam. He did not. He was a helicopter pilot. He was literally on the plane headed over there to face his deathly destiny. And they called the plane back and deprived him of the battlefield mortality that he believed he was supposed to have. He really believed that, you know, that the what was that Mel Gibson movie? The Vietnam one where he's in the field with everybody and he played. I forgot what that was. But my dad actually believed that he was supposed to be part of that crew right there and die during that. That's what he believed. So throughout his entire life,
we were soldiers.
We were soldiers. That's it. Throughout his entire life, he was very proud of being a veteran. He was. Now, that being said, he did not retire from the military. You know, he was a captain. They were downsizing the army. And at that point in time, they were like, you know, you can stay, but we're going to bust your ass down to a staff sergeant, or you can get the hell out. Well, he chose to get the hell out, but he always regretted that decision. He always wanted to be buried in a military cemetery. Didn't care, didn't give a shit what state, as long as it was a military cemetery. Now, about 2 months before he passed away, he passed away in October. About 2 months before he passes away, I'm taking care of the man. And he says, you know, I've been thinking about it. I was like, yeah. He's like, I want to be buried with my wife, my stepmom. And I was like, Dad, are you sure about that? And he's like, yes, I do. I want to be. That's why I've decided I want to be there. I was like, absolutely, Dad. We'll make sure that takes place. Now, I absolutely will obey those wishes. The thing is, he passed away. Now, he was wanting to be cremated. And I had his ass cremated. I did. All right. He was wanting to be cremated. Take him to the hospital, the mortuary, whoever the hell transports the body. They take him to the cremation thing. I go and sign the papers. I come back and I'm thinking about it that night. I'm thinking hard about it because I was like, you know, was that just a moment of depression on his part? What was it? Or would he really want to be buried in a military cemetery? So I was thinking, I was like, why can't I bury him both places? So I picked up the phone. I called the cremation center. I was like, hey, let me ask you something. You already got him cremated? How hard would it be for you to split the ashes into two? And he gets quiet. And he's like, what? How hard would it be for you to split the ashes in, you know, half and half? Half in one box, half in another. We could do it. Why? Because what I would like to do is put half of him down in Florida with his former wife and half of him in a military cemetery. Can I do that? I don't see why not. Now, I did not tell either cemetery that they were only getting 50% of him. And I did not tell which 50%, because let's be honest, you're looking at the ashes, you don't friggin' know which 50% it is. Is it a vertical? Is it a horizontal? Is it parts from both? I don't know. I do absolutely know. That half of him is in Alabama at the Montevallo Veterans Cemetery. The other half is in Florida next to his wife. I say the other half, but I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but when you cremate somebody, you don't get all the ashes. You don't. They give you a bunch of ashes, and it weighs a pretty good amount of weight, but you don't get everything. You know, like the bones, they got to ground up the bones and the teeth and then shit like that. And then, of course, if you got pacemaker, any type of, you know, plastic or metal in your body, it's not going to burn that. So you don't get that. Just saying, just throwing that out there. Now, that being my dad, he had a hammer toe. And this is when I got out of prison. He had a hammer toe. And I'll get to the show in a minute. I just wanted to tell this. But my dad had this hammer toe, and he developed it overnight. So he really couldn't even walk. The damn toe is one right next to his big toe. And it was like that, just sticking right up with all the other toes. He's like, what the hell? That's the ugliest fucking foot I've ever seen in my life. So this man, they told him the only way that we can fix it is to amputate it. Well, he didn't want to have his toe amputated. So here my dumbass is. I'm living with him at the time, with him and his wife. His wife has gone to the store one day. He calls me in to his office. I was like, yes, Dad. And he's standing up. And he's like, what I want you to do, get your shoes on. I was like, okay, I got my shoes on. He's like, look, you put the heel of your shoe on this. Now, he had neuropathy, so he literally could not feel anything at all from the knee below. All right. So he's like, I want you to stand on this toe. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I figure I won't feel it if you break it, and it'll heal back straight. And I was like, no, I'm from Kentucky. I am. I'm from Kentucky. And when someone gives an idea like that, it kind of goes through your head like, shit, maybe that'll work. So here I am standing with my heel on the toe and it's not breaking. So I'm bouncing up and down on it. You know, like everybody's going to Dallas. Everybody's going to Dallas. And of course, the toe doesn't break. They end up amputating the toe. And when they amputated it, I really pissed the man off because I looked at him as he was going into the surgery to get it taken off. I looked at him and the doctor. And I was like, "Doctor, what do you do with these toes?" And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "What do you do with the toe?" And he's like, "Well, we dispose of it." And I was like, "Instead of disposing of it, is it possible that I get the toe and can make like a little toe necklace out of it?" And that did not make the doctor nor my really scared father very happy at all. But it caused me to laugh to no end, I'll tell you that. That's what I'm talking about with my dad being split into two. Before we get to the main show, you know, the bitch, moan, and complain segment. Do you guys remember Paul Newton?
Yeah.
That came on the show?
Yeah.
So Paul Newton sent me a copy of his book, Mental Theft, which I've not read the book yet. I've got it on my desk, Paul. I've not read it yet, but it looks like it's very entertaining. What I did want to show is the envelope that he sent the book to me in. The envelope says, "The awesome Mr. Brett Johnson." That's exactly right. The awesome Mr. Brett Johnson. By God, that's me, Mr. Awesome. All right, so is there anything? Oh, we'll get to the show here in a second. So here's the deal. I went to Austin a few weeks ago to appear on the R Snake show, the Robert Hansen show. That show came out the day before yesterday. So you guys go over on YouTube, look up the R, letter R Snake show. It's a 3 hour and 11 minute podcast. Evidently, it's only part one. He tells me before we start to record, it usually lasts about 90 minutes. 3 hours and 11 minutes later, he says, "You know, we're only about halfway through this. Can you come back in a couple of months?" So he wants me to come back next month, which I will do. But in the interim, you guys head over to the R Snake Show, hit that like, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button. Better yet, why don't you head over to Criminal Thoughts, my show, and this show that you're tuning into right now, the Brett Johnson Show. And while you're at it, hit that little subscribe button, hit a like, and leave me a comment. I don't care if it's a good comment or a bad comment. If it's a bad comment, I may look at it, get angry. If I'm angry enough, I may delete it, but I still like you. I won't say I love you. Jesus loves you. I like you. Hell, I barely even know you. But Jesus loves you. That being said, let's talk about what are we going... Oh, that's right. Part of a new segment on the Brett Johnson Show is Brettie's Bitch, Moan, and Complain segment.
I hate them all.
They ain't no f***ing way. You don't want to hear about this bullshit.
Bitch, moan, and complain. You are full of poo.
All right, so what are we going to bitch moan? I'll tell you what we're going to bitch moan and complain about. As everyone knows, my breakfast of a morning is a Premier protein shake, chocolate flavored because every other flavor fucking sucks. It's a Quest protein bar, the white chocolate raspberry because every other flavor fucking sucks, and Monster Rehab drink because, yes, even though it tastes like shit, it'll wake you the fuck up. That's my breakfast every single morning. I also tune into Fox News and CNN because I like to start my day off pissed off at everyone. Now, here's the truth. Both wings, left and right, they are populated on the far left and the far right. They are populated by fucking idiots. They are huge sufferers of FIS, fucking idiot syndrome. What I want to complain about first is we in America have roughly 350 million Americans. And you are telling me that of those 350 million Americans, that the best two candidates throughout the United States are Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump. Really? Really? That's the best we can fucking do. So we got Weekend at Bernie's 3. And on the other side, I don't know if you guys are new or not, we've got a film coming out. I think it's April 12th. Called Civil War. It's an A24 production. It's already getting glowing reviews. I will be in line that day to watch this documentary. I'm not saying it's a film. I'm saying it's a very prescient documentary, a lot like Idiocracy. Great film and a very very prescient film. It truly is. I think this Civil War thing is going to be exactly the same. When I was in prison, the Aryans, they love themselves a book called The Turner Diaries. The Turner Diaries is all about the United States going through a civil war. So you can bet your little ass that we're going to have all kinds of Aryans loading up to go see this A24 production. Now, what I'm actually talking about here is so we've got Joe Biden. And let's be honest, that man really doesn't know where the hell he is most of the time. It looks like he's about to fall asleep. He's got handlers. He's answering the wrong questions. He's saying that Mexico is next to Gaza. He's saying all this bullshit. I'm surprised. And honestly, I'm not quite sure that the man has not passed away and they don't have one of those little Elmo motors in his ass, walking his ass around. I don't know. I'm just saying. Compared to Donald J. Trump. Now, I am not a Trump fan. I'm not. I'm certainly not a Joe Biden fan. I'm not a Trump fan. But, you see that? But here's the rule on that. Whatever anyone says, as soon as they say but, everything that comes before that but word is now meaningless. So bear that in mind. I am not a huge Donald Trump fan. But the thing is, do I think that he's being targeted by political rivals? Yes. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Why do I think that? Because he fucking is. Now, if he hadn't screwed up somewhere along the way, they wouldn't have anything to target. The problem is that we've got Weekend at Bernie's 3, and now we've got Donald J. Trump. And by all polls that I'm looking at, Donald J. Trump is the next president. Now, the problem with that is once this man becomes president, I'm really glad that I have not pissed him off. I really am, because he strikes me as the type of dude that does not forget those people who have slighted him in the past. And let's be clear, there has been a whole shitload of people who have slighted him. The truth of the matter is, I don't really care if it's Democrat or if it's Republican. The truth of the matter is that neither one of those sides is on your side or my side. They are on their side. That's the truth. This idea that the Democrats are better for us, that the Republicans are better for us, that anybody, that someone out is out there watching out for us. I've got to tell you something. That's a fucking lie. That's all it is. It's a lie to convince you to give your vote to that bunch of people, to convince you that your vote has some sort of meaning, that it means something. The truth of the matter is that both those candidates, you didn't have any word in picking those. Those were picked long before your little vote even came into play. That's the truth of the matter. But now what I really want to bitch about today, my stepson, Carson, he comes in, he's taking sociology at university. So he comes in, and I guess the sociology teacher started to talk about George Floyd. So George Floyd was this poor guy up in Minneapolis that he was selling cigarettes illegally, some bullshit like that. Whatever it was, he was not doing anything horribly bad. Very minor. All right. This cop, group of cops, come up. Get the guy down on the ground, and I forgot the cop's last name. His first name was Derek. Derek Chauvin, the cop, proceeds to kneel on George Floyd's neck. It's either for 7 minutes or 9 minutes. It was long enough to kill the guy. Meanwhile, the other cops are watching. Not only are the other cops watching, but a good number of people just in the public, bypassers, have stopped to watch this cop kill this African-American guy, this unarmed African-American guy. Because let's be honest, every single fucking time that I hear about the cops killing somebody, it's an unarmed African-American. My opinion is maybe they need to start practicing the Second Amendment a little bit more. Just saying, I'm not a militant, but hey, if you're unarmed and they're killing you, maybe arming yourself might cause them to pause for a second. The sociology teacher was mentioning this in class. And this girl that's from Minnesota, she decides to chime in. And she chimes in with some of the talking points of, I don't think there's any other way to say it some of the talking points of the fucking idiots that are out there that are trying to justify the murder of George Floyd. She says, well, you know, he was on fentanyl. He had COVID. So it really wasn't the knee that was on his neck for those 8 minutes suffocating him. It was that stuff that caused him to die. And I looked at Carson. I was like, did you call her a fucking idiot? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, you should have fucking had, because she sure as fuck is. Now, here's the thing. That's not just her that's saying that. You can go on Reddit. You can go on some on TikTok. You can go on some of these right wing. I think Candace Owen, her dumbass, even said this at one point. You can go on any of these right wing platforms, the far right, and you'll see these people that are justifying the murder of unarmed African-Americans, George Floyd and others. They say, well, you know, he had a long criminal career. He had COVID. He was already sick. He was belligerent, blah, 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 blah. I don't give a fuck if they've got pictures of George Floyd butt fucking the Easter Bunny. That does not entitle them to kill the man. Happy Easter. See, yesterday was Easter. I'm in the festive spirit. Carson asked me the other day, he's like, why does Easter have bunnies? And I didn't even pause. I just looked at him and said, very few people know that Jesus was actually a rabbit. He looked at me and I was like, there are so many people out there that are trying to justify the murder of these individuals. You know, it wasn't the cops' fault. Yes, it was. It was. Okay. It doesn't matter if George Floyd was on fentanyl. It doesn't matter they had a criminal career. It doesn't matter that he may have had COVID. None of that matters. All right. None of that matters. Law enforcement is there to serve and protect. To protect not only the law-abiding citizens, but also to protect those people's rights who they are arresting, who may be out there committing some sort of criminal act. That's the truth of the matter, to serve and protect everyone. When we start getting to the point of saying, hey, you know, this guy, he was never a really good guy. He kind of deserved it. You know what? Shut the fuck up. Seriously, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Take a pause. Take a breath. Be a human being. You know, yesterday was Easter. And Jesus said a couple of things before they nailed his ass to a tree. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we could just do that, we wouldn't have a lot of this police brutality. We wouldn't have a lot of people trying to justify that police brutality, and we would have a much better planet. But I guess that brings me into the last thing I would like to bitch about before we get to the headlines. As I said just a couple minutes ago, we've got the left wing and the right wing in the United States. All right. Now, for some reason, it appears that the inmates have taken over the asylum. The radicals on both wings are now running things, where it used to be the moderates, where it used to be during the primaries, you know, the political parties on both sides, they would really go far right or far left to appeal to their constituents. And then when the primary came along, when the general came along, I mean, they would migrate to the middle in order to talk to everyone. That's no longer the case. That's no longer the case. If you're a Democrat, every fucking Republican that's out there is your enemy. If you're a Republican, every Democrat evidently is Satan, and they're your enemy. We've got to get past that. We've got to understand that, hey, at the end of the day, we are all human beings. At the end of the day, we're here for two reasons. We're here to know more about ourselves, and we're here to help our fellow human being. On today's From the Headlines, I have not commented about this before, but I was looking for news articles yesterday to talk about the show today, and this article popped up about the Australian soccer team with five transgender players goes undefeated in women's tournaments. And there's a quote, there's a huge difference in ability. My quote would be, no shit, Sherlock. Here's the thing. When I was in prison, we had at Fort Worth, we had transgender people on the compound. We did. All right. Now, there was a small demographic of prison inmates that would disparage those individuals. We had a doctor, he was in his 70s. He had committed Medicare fraud. He was serving like a 17-year prison sentence. And once he gets in, he decides at that point he wants to be a woman. Once he gets in, all right? And he was going through the transition. Now, when you do a transition in prison, you don't get the surgery. You don't. You get the shots. So, yes, you keep your junk. But then you start to look more female through the day. So we had him. We had another person. I forgot. He was in on meth. And he had been transitioning before he got locked up. And then we had a porn star. And he slash she had the boobs, blonde, had the facial reconstruction surgery to look more like a female, but had not been operated down below. Because I guess in porn that you want to keep your junk because you get paid more if you're that type of transgender. So this guy was doing this. And then one of the stories on that, this guy was in the TV room one day. And I forgot what the hell it was, but he screams out, "You want to see my tits?" And of course, we all went, "Yes!" Most of the inmates on that compound, we treated each other with respect. All right. Now, the staff did not feel that way toward the transgender. They were like, "What the fuck?" And there were a few inmates that were like, "What the fuck, too?" OK, but we knew at the end of the day, hey, that ain't a woman. That is a man. And we were OK with that. We would call. We would say her. We would whatever their preferred name was, that we would do that. We didn't really give a shit. OK, you want to be called Debbie? You're Debbie. I don't give a fuck. You do you behind the fence. You can be whoever you want to be. It's your story. You tell it. And we respect that. All right. One of the weird things that you used to see is walking the track. You'd get these transgenders out there and they would take your issued khaki pants. They would take their damn khaki pants and they would cut them off into Daisy Dukes. And then they'd pull them as high as they could and they'd walk the track with their ass cheeks hanging out. Now, you would know who was fucked up on the compound by who was following that transgender as they walked the track. And lo and behold, it was always a bunch of the Latinos that were following with their tongues hanging out like, yeah, man. Yeah, that's what you'd see all the fucking time. Now, the reason I'm saying that, we're talking about, you know, I got out and I've always been a respectful person. I have. If you want to be referred to as a specific pronoun, as long as it's not that they and them bullshit, I'll do that. There is no they and them. That's plural. That's multiple people. OK, but as long as it's not that, I'll do that with you. OK, because it's respectful. It doesn't hurt me to refer to you as you would like to be referred to. It's only a second to do that. I don't mind doing that. That's fine. OK, don't ask me to believe that you are the same as someone who's born a male or someone who's born a female. You're not. I'm sorry. It's think of it like that movie, The Crying Game, except when you show somebody that you're not really a male or female, they're not going to sit there all heartbroken. They're probably going to kill your ass if you've not told them before. Let's go out on a date. You want to come to my place? Why, sure, I'd love to come to your place if I go get some action.
Oh, you're going to get all kinds of action.
What'd you say your name was again?
My name's Lola. You ever heard that kink song?
Lola. I think I've heard about it. What's it about?
Oh, it's about love. It's about deep, dark, hard love. You're going to have some fun tonight.
Oh, I'd love that. Let's go to your place tonight.
So he gets to his place. Lola takes off Lola's clothes. Meanwhile, the guy's looking like,
Lola, what's that hanging down?
That's my love for you.
Lola, that's the biggest clit I've ever seen.
That ain't a clit, big boy. Get over here.
That's what happens.
That's the guy's voice.
That's the guy's voice because, hey, I'm equal opportunity. Now, we're talking about sports. And I mentioned this before we started to record. We got that swimmer who evidently lost every fucking swimming competition that he was in until he decides he wants to be a she. Then he transfers over to the women's team and he wins every fucking swimming competition that she is in. We got the Australian soccer team. Evidently, they beat the ever-loving dog shit out of the other soccer team that was composed of all CIS women. See, I know the terminology. I do. One of the things that you don't see any females wanting to step into the ring with Mike Tyson. You don't see calls for LeBron James to head over to the WNBA where he can score 8,000 points in one quarter. You don't see that. Why? The why is because there is a fucking difference. That's why. Now, we can be human beings. We can treat each other with respect. But going back to what I was bitch moaning and complaining about, we cannot let the radicals run things. Because when you get the radicals running things, you get situations like this, where all of a sudden you've got female sports that are all fucked up because there's an unfair advantage with many of the males that are now identifying as females coming into that environment. Absolutely. It's fucked up. It's more fucked up than NIL. All right, on today's Art of Accountability segment, I mentioned this on the last Brett Johnson show, this idea of finding happiness. So I've been a free man. I got out in 2011. My dumb ass, I recidivated, went back for 10 months. Got back out, finally turned my life around, which today, I got to tell you guys, I'm as happy as a pig in shit. I am. I lead a very blessed life that I absolutely do not deserve, but I am extremely grateful to have, and I'm grateful for everyone who, I joke a lot, but I'm grateful for everybody who has rooted for me, who has taken me in under their wing, give me advice, checked in on me, just sent me emails, hellos, howdy-do's. Even those guys who have sent the hated stuff, the hated messages, at least you took the time out to respond, and I appreciate that. I do. On the last episode, I mentioned, I forgot what I was bitching about, but I mentioned this idea of finding happiness. You know, we are often in relationships, and it's very common for people to say, you know, he makes me happy or she makes me happy. The truth of the matter is that no, only one person can make you happy. You. Only you can make, only you can stop forest fires. I've got this t-shirt that says only you can stop communism because I hate the fucking Russians. Sorry, I'm getting off track a lot today on stuff like that. You know, I've been a free man for several years now. When I was in prison, I was often told that I had a severe lack of empathy for my fellow man. So I worked on empathy a lot, and I have empathy today. You know who I don't have empathy for? I don't really have empathy for a lot of those people that are in the free world and they lament every single day about, I have the worst life. My life completely sucks. I don't know what I am, just things cannot get any worse. I don't have any empathy for that. I don't. And here's why. When I was in prison, I served almost a full seven and a half years because Brady fucked up. And I got to learn how to poo in front of other men. So I served almost a full 7.5 years. I met men there who had lost family, who had lost friends, who had absolutely no outside contact at all. Not only that, but they would never, never get out of prison. They were going to die behind the fence. Okay? I met many people like that. And I'm going to tell you what I found. I found that those people who had lost every single thing that they had, every single day, they could find happiness behind the fence, behind the fence. So my lack of empathy for people who are free, who complain about their life and how unhappy they are, how depressed they are, I have a severe lack of empathy for that because I see these men who were serving this time, who were never going to be able to get out again. And every single day, they weren't sitting there. Now, yeah, they would cry sometimes, especially Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that. You'd see, by God, you'd see a whole lot of tears on that compound, rightfully so. And nobody would make fun of each other because of it. Because you know what? We were all hurting at that point in time. But every single day, I saw men on that compound that had already discovered that at the end of the day, no one makes you happy. you make you happy, and you can be happy in any environment that you happen to be in. If you, and I've said this before, if you have problems in your life, what you can do is you can pause, you can take a step back, look at it from the outside in, figure out what's going right with your life. Catalog that. Absolutely. Journal it. Write its ass down, because when you start writing stuff down or talking to somebody about it, you start processing through it at that point. Write down the good points in your life. Then write down exactly, not just my life sucks, write down exactly what's going wrong. Is it the job? Is it the relationship? Is it the fucking kids? What is it? Like, I got two boys out there, and I got to tell you, I love those boys. I'd like to kill them about once a day. Luckily, so far, I have not walked into Home Depot wearing a Tyvek suit, buying two 55-gallon oil barrels, duct tape, a shovel, and a bag of lye. But I think about it a lot. A lot. A whole lot. I'm thinking about it right now. I better move on. Happiness comes from inside. It does. It absolutely does. So if you can understand that, if you can look at that and break it down into what's bad and what's good, and then understand what you are able to change, and that change does not come overnight, you're going to be all right. All right, on today's main episode, we're talking about my experience and my thought process from going to Easter service yesterday. So I mentioned it earlier. You know, we've got a guy that back in the day, he said, and they wrote it down in a book. He said, you know, love thy neighbor, love your fellow human being like you would like yourself to be loved. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, would you steal from somebody? Well, no, not unless you would have them steal from you. Would you berate someone, or how would you treat people? Treat them the way that you'd like to be treated. Well, he said that. And as soon as he said it, turned out they rounded his ass up one night and they nailed his ass to a tree. There was another guy that talked about having a dream. He talked about people not being judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And then they shot that guy on a hotel balcony. Turns out that we have a lot of trouble with the truth throughout this planet. We have a lot of trouble with that. There was a Plato's Allegory of the Cave. He talks about this idea of truth, you know, and if you think about it, whether you call it God, whether you call it a higher power, what have you, we have that truth that's out there. And then we down here in the temporal realm, Earth, we are separated from that. And we look for glimpses of that truth to try to understand it, to try to attain what is really truthful. And that's what a lot of philosophy is about, is the search for whatever truth is. And truth is not facts, okay? It's bigger than facts. You know, you can't say that the fact is a truth. No, the fact is just a fact. It's the only thing it is. Truth is much bigger than that. So that you had all these philosophers throughout history who have written about trying to discover truth, trying to grasp what truth is. And the allegory of the cave does that. And basically what the allegory says is, hey, there's a guy or a couple of guys that's in a cave, and they're facing the cave wall, and behind them is a fire, and there are people dancing in front of the fire, throwing shadows on the cave, but there's sunlight coming in through the opening of the cave, and it's casting more shadows and things like that. And for someone whose entire existence has only been looking forward at the wall of that cave, never looking behind them, their entire reality, their truth, is simply those shadows that have been cast on that wall. That's what truth is to them. That's their entire existence. That is reality. They've never seen anything behind them before. One of the people that is in the cave, they get loose and they venture outside of the cave where they see what truth really is, what reality really is. And they turn a little violent because some people can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
That's really, to me, what our existence on this planet is. We get an idea, we get dogmatic, we get an idea of what reality is, of how we should live our lives, of what truth is. And if we're ever confronted with something that disagrees with that, a lot of the times we get angry. Sometimes some people get violent. And that's a lot of the problems on this earth. Now, I wanted to mention that because religion is another search for this truth. Okay. And here's the thing. I don't really care if you believe a certain religious text or not. Okay. The power of myth, that's a Joseph Campbell reference, the power of myth in our lives, whether that myth is an ongoing theological belief or myths from Nordic mythology or Greek or Roman or Indian mythology or what have you, those myths absolutely play a part in shaping our culture, our lives, our behavior, our society as a whole. Okay? You look at these stories, like Joseph Campbell wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And what he talks about is this hero's journey throughout all societies is basically the same. Okay? And it even appears in a movie called Star Wars, this hero's journey. Okay? And that hero's journey is very important to humankind as far as shaping our moral compass and our society as a whole. So religion, myth, plays a role in our lives, that search for truth. You know, I talked to a gentleman a couple weeks ago about my lack of faith. It's not that I don't want to believe. I do. Okay. And I'm a big proponent of Pascal's wager. So for those who don't know, Pascal's wager, he was this fantastic mathematician. And he was also kind of a game theory guy before game theory came into play. So what is game theory? Game theory is strategic decision making. So what Pascal says is he says one of two things, either God exists or God does not exist. As such, I can choose to either believe in God and act accordingly or not believe in God and act accordingly. So I've got two decisions to make. Now, if I choose to believe in God and God does not exist, so I believe in God and I act accordingly, and at the end of days when I give up the ghost, God does not exist, what have I lost? And the answer, not a whole lot of much of anything. All right, you've not, because you've acted accordingly. You've loved your fellow man. You've treated your neighbor like you'd like to be treated. You've not. You've led a good life. All right. However, if I choose not to believe in God, and at the end of the day, when I give up the ghost, God does exist, what have I lost? And the answer is everything. So Pascal used a very rational approach to coming into belief in Christianity. Now, I truly wish that I could do the same thing. I do, because I'm aware of the wager. I agree with the wager. The best decision is to believe. But believe is more than just giving lip service. It's much more than that. It's actually epistemologically believing. All right. I believe because I have faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to believe. And I keep trying to get that. Now, I don't go to church. I don't. I'm well read in the Bible. A lot of the times I don't go to church. My first real girlfriend was a preacher's daughter. He was a preacher in the Church of Christ in Kentucky, which means hard fucking core is what that means. All right. That's exactly when I met her. I was dating her. And when I go to meet her parents, I meet her mom first. Her mom absolutely loved the shit out of me. The dad was a coal miner and a preacher. So he comes in from work that night. He sits down on the couch next to me. "So you want to date my daughter?" "Yes, sir." "I ask about you at work." "Yes, sir." "Yep. They said that you could be a real smart ass, okay? But they also said that you were a pretty good guy." "Well, thank you. I appreciate that." "You are either a servant of God or a servant of Satan. Which one are you?" "Well, shit, I can't tell him I'm a servant of God because I don't even go to fucking church. If I tell him I'm a servant of Satan, Given those two choices, I have to say that I am a servant of Satan. But I don't like saying that." "Good answer. So, you're going to date my daughter.
I'm assuming you're going to come to church. I'm assuming I am. Yes, sir. Every single Sunday. Church is also Wednesdays. Okay. Every Wednesday and Sunday.
So I dated Christy for 5 years, and I went to church every Wednesday and Sunday to a very fundamentalist church where they don't have musical instruments. Like they don't have, you know, you go to these churches today and they've got the Kumbaya band playing up top for, you know, 45 minutes and you've got a sermon for 15 because those churches figured out long fucking ago that, hey, man, don't like to sit down for that hour and listen to some preacher preach. They had much rather listen to music for a while and maybe that will get more people in the pews. And it absolutely, as a matter of fact, you don't even have pews anymore. You've got the theater, you know, stadium seating, which is much more comfortable. So they figured out that long ago. But my indoctrination at church were pews, a very fundamentalist type of setting, and actual scripture where you follow the fuck along with the text, period. And they believe that. They don't teach the prosperity gospel. That's another thing. So I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but, you know, we got the Catholic Church. When the Catholic Church came into play, the Catholic Church was really good about telling all the kings, hey, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to give us some money. Not only that, but they would also preach your ass out of hell or purgatory. So if somebody died, you know, one of the priests would go up to whoever was next in charge and say, Turns out that the God has got your boy in purgatory there, and he's going to stay there. Yeah, he's staying there. How long is he going to stay there? Well, turns out that God's wanting a new building over in Rome. All right? So he's going to stay there until you pay for the new building in Rome. But guess what? As soon as you pay for that, we're going to miracle his ass right up to heaven. He's going to be just fine. He's going to be right next to St. Peter. They're going to be having tacos. That's right. That's prosperity God. That was the way the Catholic Church came into play. Then a guy named Martin Luther, he got a wild hair in his ass one day. Not Martin Luther King, the original Martin Luther. He got a wild hair in his ass one day. He nailed 95 little notes on a church door saying, hey, you can keep your money and still go to heaven. Hey, you don't need a priest to preach. Any man has the ability to preach. And guess what? That caused Protestantism to explode across Europe because now all these rich people could keep their fucking money and they didn't have to have a priest do all this stuff for them. So it kind of opened the door for a much more mass adoption. These days, you've got this thing called the prosperity gospel, which a lot of congregations preach. That bit that Jesus said about, you know, it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than, you know, whatever the fuck the rest of the statement says, whatever that is. I don't know. It's more difficult for a rich man to go through for a poor man to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to make it to heaven. That's what he says. And, you know, the guy asks Jesus what he needs to do. And Jesus says, give away all your stuff and follow me. And the guy's like, I just can't do that. Well, the prosperity gospel forgets that whole segment in the Bible. The prosperity gospel says that, hey, God wants you. He wants you to make a lot of money. He wants you to be rich. Because when you're rich, you can help your fellow man, maybe, if you want to. More than that, you can help the church because we need a new swimming pool. That's right. God wants this church to have a swimming pool and a basketball court and a golf course and more acres of land. That's the prosperity gospel. Needless to say, I am down on this prosperity gospel. I am. This idea that God, if there is one, that God wants his followers to be rich is the most ridiculous thing. It goes against all of the concept of the Bible as a whole. It goes against that, all right? You will note, too, that all these churches talk about tithing. As far as I can tell, the only real place it talks about tithing is the book of Malachi, Old Testament. Now, here's the thing, all right? We're all about, in churches, talking about how the New Testament has fulfilled the Old Testament, except where it comes to the book of Malachi, where we remind everybody, you know, 10% is really what you should give. It's really what you should give. Doesn't say that bullshit in the New Testament, Old Testament, but yet they still pull it up. If you're going to pull up the Old Testament, why, oh, why don't they teach the Song of Solomon? For those who don't know, the Song of Solomon is the erotic part of the Bible. No one teaches that shit. Oh, no, absolutely not. My youngest stepson, Carson, he is involved in church, and I am tickled to death that the man is involved in church. He does really well. I've actually seen him speak at church before, and he did an outstanding job. I looked at him afterwards. I was like, look, instead of going into sports marketing like you're going to do, you'd be much better off, and I think you'd be much happier if you did some church work. He says, no, he wants to go into sports marketing. I'm like, that's fine. You got to find something that makes you happy. But, you know, he does really well with that. So he asked me, he's like, Brett, would you like to go to Easter service with me? So he took the time out. He cared enough about me to ask. And there's no way I'm going to say no. I mean, my answer was, yes, absolutely. Went to church. And again, I come from a very fundamentalist background. I don't go into the concert type of atmosphere, the festival type of atmosphere. I like to sit there and hear a sermon, go through the book. Well, they don't have the books there. The sermon, there's very little quoting of the Bible there, and there's a lot of music playing, which I'm like, okay, I'll just enjoy it for what it is. But they didn't teach the prosperity gospel yesterday. But one of the things that happens frequently in a church setting is we commonly hear about how we are here on earth to prepare to go to heaven. That's why we're here. That's the only reason that we're here. Now, here's the thing. And this may cause some controversy, me saying this. The Bible was written for a group of people who were slaves. Okay? That's why it was written. Those Hebrews were under the thumb. And when you see this thing talked about of, you know, your reward will be in heaven. Your reward is in the afterlife. You know, you're here, you're only passing through this suffering now, and you're going to be better off once you check out, all right? What that really is, those lines are there to appease the slaves that were reading those words back in the day, all right? Now, I know there's going to be a whole shitload of people that sit there and say, well, the Bible is divinely inspired. Okay, I won't argue that. Maybe it is. All right, maybe it is, but divinely inspired or not, it's written by the hand of man, which is fallible and finite. Now, how can someone who has finite thinking ever embrace and understand the infinite? That's the entire book of Revelation. The entire book. That's John, who has this vision that he does not understand because it's a vision of the infinite. It's coming through his finite mind, and he's trying with his finite mind to put it into finite words on paper. And he's trying to get people to understand some of the stuff that he saw, okay? This thing of saying that don't worry about the physical world. You're here just to do things right so that you can get to heaven and be where you're supposed to be. It's not even that I don't think. I don't believe that. I don't. Here's what I believe. I believe that we are on earth to be better than we were. I don't know about reincarnation. I don't know anything else like that. But I believe this with every part of my being, that we come to earth so that we can be better. Okay? So that we can, like me today, I was a lifetime criminal. Today, my primary function, my primary goals are to know more about myself. Like either tomorrow or Wednesday morning, I'm driving from Birmingham, Alabama down to Orlando. I'm going to be on a guy's podcast down there, but I'm also speaking for a technology conference at Disney World on Friday. Now, I'm choosing to drive those 8.5 hours because it gives me the opportunity to think, to ponder. As I'm listening to a lot of heavy metal, all right, Slipknot, I'm listening to all this crap as I'm thinking these deep thoughts, but it gives me the chance to process a lot of the feelings and the thoughts and life experiences that I try to do a lot of the time, okay? And that's important to me. That's important to me. And I really believe that that's why we're all here, to understand more about ourselves, but it goes deeper than that, you know? this idea of what Jesus talked about, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, do unto others. So it also embraces I really believe the other reason we're here is to help our fellow human beings. Okay. This idea of the meek shall inherit the earth. First of all, that's incorrect. Most people's understanding of that. Meek does not mean weak. Meek, actually, if you're looking at the Bible definition, meek means people who absolutely have the propensity to enact violence or change or be predators, but they choose every day not to. They choose to lead a meek life. That's what the definition of meek is, all right? The real definition. You know, this idea that earth is only here as a vehicle to get us to the afterlife, I think is completely incorrect. And if you look at some of the stories throughout life, some of the anecdotes pertaining to the Bible, but also some of the Bible stories there, you see these lessons all the time about how people are learning to be better, about how people fuck up. You know, like every single fucking prophet in the Bible, I probably shouldn't be using the word fucking with the Bible, but hey, you know what? That's just me. I like to say the only thing worse than the fucking Catholics are the goddamn Baptists, except they have fried chicken every Sunday. Just me. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Anyway, if there is a God, this God has put on earth every single thing that you need to lead a full, happy, loving life. And it goes back to that art of accountability segment. You can find happiness wherever you are, but happiness comes from inside. It doesn't come through other people making you happy or making you sad. It comes from internally. All right. So if there is a God, this God has made this earth for all the living creatures on it, humankind as well. And we have every single thing that we need. So why would we be here just to use this planet as a vehicle to get to the other side when we can use this life to know more about ourselves, to become these better beings, and to help our fellow human beings become better human beings as well? That is something that I really don't see a whole lot of preachers talking about. And there's something really wrong with that. There's something really wrong with that. Now, I see churches all the time that talk about, you know, they want to go out and do food banks. They want to help the homeless. Those are very good causes. There's some question, though, whether the churches help the homeless as much as they help themselves. And sometimes I really doubt that. All right. So there are some very good things that go on. But I really believe that we need to start embracing this idea of helping each other. You know, we live in this world these days where, you know, if you don't believe what I believe, you're an enemy of mine. You're an enemy of mine. Most Christians believe that, you know, you come to the Father through and by me. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ and embrace Jesus Christ, then when you die, you are going to go to hell. I don't believe that. St. Augustine did not believe that either. All right. St. Augustine is one of the pillars of Christianity. He's the reason that he was a Manichaean before he converted to Christianity. Manichaeans believed that the human body, the soul, was a battleground between good and evil. Ah, that is exactly what Augustine brings to Christianity. It wasn't until Augustine's writings that people started to view in Christianity the body as a battleground between good and evil. Augustine believed that, and he brought that to Christianity. Augustine also believed that if there was a hell, that it would not be an eternal hell because what God is by definition all loving. How can a all loving creature or being commit someone to a life of, to an eternity of pain and suffering? Augustine did not believe that. I don't believe that either. I do not believe that every single Muslim on the planet is going to burn. I do not believe that. Will some of them? Yes, by God, some of them should. So should a lot of friggin' Christians. I do not believe that the Jewish people are wrong. I do not believe that the Indian people are wrong. I believe that all of those theologies, or if they're mythologies now, that they play a part in shaping who we are as a culture and a society. They help give us a moral compass. They help direct how we should live our lives. And they have lessons to learn along the way. They make us better people. And I truly believe that if we are going through this journey of life, and if we are learning more about ourselves and making ourselves better beings, and not only that, but also trying our damnedest to make our fellow human beings better beings, that if there is an afterlife, by God, we're going to hit it. Not the bad part of it, but the good part of it. That's a lot of the problem that I have with churches. Because this idea that you have to subscribe not only to one specific religion, but to one specific denomination within that religion, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. You know, Paul, in his writings, see, I am somewhat well-read. Paul, in his writings, turns out that, you know, was Jesus all for organized religion? I got to say, I don't really think the guy was. Paul, when he starts writing about the churches in his letters, he finds something wrong with every one of them some bitches. Every single one. My name is Brett Johnson. I don't know what else to say. This is a shorter show. I led a despicable life. I did. I led a despicable life. And, you know, today I still pay for that. I do an interview and, I get a lot of people, not a lot. Most people, you know, 95%, 99% are very kind, and they see somebody that that was not a good person, me, that I'm turning my life around. I'm trying like hell to be a better person, and I am a much better person than I used to be. I'm still on that path. But I have some people that their responses are less than kind. Their responses are, this son of a bitch still needs to be in prison for the rest of his life, or why is he out, or blah, 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 blah. You know, it's if we are, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about this idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It does not. You know, you can forgive somebody, but you should not forget what they've done, okay? You know, if we are truly a society that believes in forgiving people, of giving people second chances, and you see someone that is truly trying to do that. And I am. I'm truly trying to do that. I'm not the only person that's trying to do that, though. If you see somebody that's trying to do that, why in the hell are you disparaging that person? Why are you making these trollish comments just because you're on the internet and you don't have to answer for these comments? I would implore people to sit back and just consider what this guy said at one point, that they nailed to that tree of loving your neighbor, knowing thyself, doing unto others as you want done unto you. I would implore you to consider that and think about that, because we can absolutely, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to joke. It's okay to poke the bear sometimes, but we can be better people than we've been. We absolutely can. You know, that's like at the top of the show, 350 million Americans, and we are saddled with two candidates that no one wants. My dad said at one point, he made a very good point. We do not get the president that we want. We get the president that we deserve. And you look at both of these candidates, and by God, yes, we are absolutely, as a society, getting what we deserve. And you know what? We can do better. We can do better. We can get to the point where we, by God, deserve something good. But we have to start acting like it and behaving like that. My name is Brett Johnson. We're going to close this show out with that thought. How do we close it out? First, as you guys can tell by now, the Brett Johnson Show has changed. Yes, I'm bringing in people to interview and stuff like that. But, you know, this idea of becoming a better person, of what that journey looks like, to me, that is much more important than cybersecurity, cybercrime, all this other stuff that I talk about on the Criminal Thoughts show. If you like, if you want, like me talking about that, Criminal Thoughts, we do that in spades. We absolutely do. We've kind of diversified and got a little bit more outside of the cybercrime and identity theft angles, talking about more types of crime. Please head over there, watch the show, leave me a comment, subscribe, like, follow, do all that stuff, because I really would like to grow these two shows. The Brett Johnson Show is more this show about, it really is about becoming a better person. It really is. Now, you know, we'll have other topics on as well, but that's really what the guiding force of this show is these days, and I like that. I do. So if you don't mind, hit that subscribe button. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you want me to talk about. I'm more than happy to do that, and I will do that. All right? My name is Brett Johnson. We're going to close things out. How do we do that? Same way every single time. Stay safe out there. Stay secure. Stay vigilant. More importantly, this is the Brett Johnson Show. At the end of the day, just do the right damn thing. My name is Brett Johnson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.